Luke chapter 2, and we'll commence our reading at verse 25. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. The same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word. For my eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled of those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them, and said unto Mary his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall, and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thy own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age, and had lived with her husband 7 years from her virginity. She was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fasting and prayer night and day. She coming in an instant, give thanks likewise unto the Lord, and stayed her thin to all them that look for redemption in Jerusalem. Suffice for our reading, and we do God let us listen to the reading of the Lord. Chapter 2. I notice there is one thing that runs throughout the chapter, and that is the delightful theme of finding Christ. I notice at the beginning of the chapter there are shepherds, and they're keeping watch over their flock by night, and they receive heavenly communication, and as they act in fellowship with them, they find a beer wrapped in swaddling bands and lying in the manger. You remember Moses in the Old Testament? He would lead a flock. He said, I am looking for a sign to see the grace. A wonderful privilege that must have been for Moses. But what a greater privilege for the shepherds in Luke chapter 2. Just to lead the flock. The seed of the God manifest in flesh. So they find him in the manger. I notice at the end of the chapter, Mary and Joseph, they too are going to find Christ. You know, they have left him. They have left the day without him. Supposing all the time that he was in the north. Well, that would be very impossible. Just to take for granted that he was. But I do know the sense that when they made the discovery, he wasn't there. But they had never heard his voice throughout the day. I know the wonderful truth of restoration. They resist their steps, and they found them just for the rest. And so Mary and Joseph too were fighting the rest. But I noticed
Jerry was there, there was a fire in the town. What would you do if you know you're attacking the city? Well, the life of character he is. I was impressed by three statements about him. It says that the Holy Ghost was upon him. Secondly, it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see them until he had seen the Lord Jesus Christ. Then thirdly, the letter that he came by the Spirit into the temple. So what Luke is emphasizing in his gospel is this. And Luke speaks much about the Spirit of God, both in his gospel and in the book of the Acts. Only to notice that many men and women that Luke tells us about that were full of the Holy Ghost. You know, in the opening chapter of his gospel, he speaks about Zechariah. He speaks about Elizabeth. He speaks about Jonathan, full of the Holy Ghost. So I notice here in a man, Simeon by name, who has both a hypocrite, controlled, and guided by the divine Spirit of God. And my brothers and sisters, if that was true of Simeon, how much more than that to be true of you and I? Well, I would judge that Simeon would be like Old Testament Simeon. That in general the Spirit of God would come upon at a particular time for a particular purpose. You remember in the Old Testament, in the book of Judges, we could read of a Samson, the Spirit began to move in Dan. We could hear it last evening about David. David prayed on one occasion, take not thy Holy Spirit from him. That would not be the intelligence of the child of God to pray today. But the very moment you and I trusted Christ, we were indwelt by the divine Spirit of God. I didn't know it at that. And even when I got to the side of my own day, and I got out of my sin, and rested for eternity on the work of Christ alone, I was indwelt by the divine Spirit. My body was a temple of the Holy Ghost. I think Wesley heard a very good lovely thing. He said, "Still as my own life, upon the atoning blood, the Holy Spirit, and I was born of God." I want to start with your help this afternoon. Just to draw your attention to the Spirit of God with a fact. This particular man by the name of Simeon. I thought first of all that the Spirit of God would reach his ear. And give him an ear to hear the word of God. That's what we're all to have. You know, Simeon's name means hearing. You may recall that Jacob's second boy was called Simeon. And his father called the man for a particular reason. She said, "The Lord heard." So his name is hearing. I think this was true of Simeon. The Spirit of God has given an ear to hear. Brother Richard reminded us last evening in the Birmingham. Then we would have the ear of a son. This confidence would be of absolutely no benefit at all if you and I have not come to hear the ear. You know, that's where it all began in our own conversion. We first of all had to have an open ear to hear the word of God. The Savior said, "He that heareth my word and believeth." So it all began with a little humanity over there in the land of faith. Unless we are not the hope of the year. It was an accident in chapter 27. The day of consecration for the priest. I noticed that the first thing the blood was ever touched is the ear. Oh yes, the blood will touch the thumb, the right thumb, and the great toe of the right foot. But before it ever reached the hand of the foot, it had to touch the right ear. For there will never be a consecrated cloth. There will never be a consecrated church. If there is not, first of all, the consecrated ear. And trust my God and my sister. The Lord and the devil's heart, take it up with it. But we speak of thy servant. Yea. Well, I just see you over and over again on the gospel. Say, he that hath an ear to hear. Seven times over in chapter 2 of 3 of the book of Revelation. I hear from everyone. He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says of the church. So the Spirit of God has given him sending an ear to hear. What's an ear? You'll notice right down this chapter, the many references to the law of the Lord. I trust you read it over again. The law of the Lord, the law of the Lord, the law of the Lord. I hear the language of the city. Lord, now hast thou thy servant departed in peace, according to thy word. He must hear to thee the word. God. I think the supreme example of course is the blessed patron of our Lord Jesus Christ. I think of Isaiah chapter 2. I read there of God's perfect servant. His ear was open, morning by morning. His ear was open to hear. Then when the poet says concerning him, thy stainless life, thy holy walk, in every aspect of from the defilement of God, no fear of evil to me, warning by warning heatedly, amidst the poison of her, that no contagion touched his soul, no sin disturbed his prayer. So I know that first of all, the Spirit of God has given sin, and he has redeemed the world. Secondly, not only will the Spirit of God touch his ear, and give him an ear to hear the light of truth, but I come now, I see the Spirit of God has guided us to me. Came by the Spirit. And so the Spirit of God is guiding his son again. Guiding him to a place where Christ is found. He's guiding him to the temple in Jerusalem. Now in Luke's Gospel chapter 2, a temple in Jerusalem may not have been all that God would have liked it to have been, but it still was a divine narrative center. It was not very this that God would instruct his people to gather to. You remember in the Old Testament they were instructed to come on certain seasons to the way to the gathering center was Jerusalem. That's what the Spirit of God is many saying. Sitting this afternoon before the gathering center for his people today. I believe the Spirit of God still will guide you.
Thank you.
And that was one of John's best experiences. I think if you have said to John, now tell me, what was the greatest experience in life? You know, he could have said, I wrote a divine gospel, so he did. He might have said to you, I am only one of the scriptures who wrote a divine gospel. He did. He might have said, I have the last word of the prophecy. So he had. I think God even told us this lesson. He said, I have the privilege of standing before you. When that spirit was sent to my brother and sister, God enabled us as we joined to the Lord. Not only the secret. We are able to survive. That's what Paul is really speaking about in Philippians chapter 3. He said, God, I need that. So there is an experience of life here. Just getting to know. I think that Joshua is a powerful leader. I have a righteous love.
Chapter 1, he says, I'm familiar with the
Like Simeon, I have a desire in my heart to be with the fellowship, which is part of life. But nevertheless, the abiding of life is more needful. I trust my brother and my sister that the Spirit of the Lord may be with you. As we lay our ears on the Word of the Lord, and move in fellowship with the Word of the Lord, that our appetite will be for that which is last. Henry Rick said, "You will be not pleased. What can you please? Of loneliness of man, I shall never think or dream of our Lord Savior.